So we celebrate today with Mother Church this great feast day, the Feast of the Holy Family. And for us at this parish named Holy Family, it's a special day for us. It's our patronal feast day. We know that St. Joseph is the patron of the universal church, and that our Blessed Mother, she's the patroness of the church. She's the Mother of God. So we can say rightfully that they belong to the whole church. But for us, in a very special, particular way, they exist to intercede for us so that our lives, our families, can be a perfect reflection of the Holy Family, an icon to the world, a beacon of light, joy, and peace. And so we ask them, we beg them for their intercession, for our parish and for our families and for our individual lives, that we can imitate their virtues. And every time Mother Church puts a saint before us to honor, it's because of their heroic virtue that they lived, that she wants us to imitate. And Pope Benedict XVI said the saints are like constellations. We know that before GPS and Waze app and whatever else, we navigated by the stars, and the constellations helped us find our way. And so the saints and their calendar are the constellations. They light our way on our journey towards heaven. And so today we reflect on the Holy Family, and we ask them to be our intercessors, to be our patrons. This family that's called holy, this word holy means to be set apart, that they were set apart for a particular purpose, for God. And in our baptism, at the end of the baptism, the minister says that this boy or girl, this son or daughter, is now rightfully called a child of God. It's through the sacrament of baptism that we are inserted into the family of God. And so this Holy Family Feast Day, in a way, is our day as well, because we live as members of the Holy Family, and we celebrate that today. But we know that for many people, their family life is nothing to celebrate. Who do we not know that has not been touched by the scourge of divorce or abandonment or addiction or abuse or infidelity or name it? And so it's easy for us to be maybe discouraged today as this ideal, perfect family is put before us. But that discouragement is a tool of the devil to make us lose track. You know, a little over 100 years ago, our Blessed Mother appeared to three little children in Fatima. She had a series of messages for them. And she told them that the last battle, the final battle, will be for marriage and family. And if we have had our eyes open in the last few years, we know that this is true. The attack on marriage and family, from the redefinition of what marriage is, from the confusion of what boys and girls are, and what makes a family, we are under attack. This is the final battle. But we have no reason to despair or lose hope, because we know how the story ends. We know who wins the battle. And so we are called to fight with Jesus for the sanctification of our families, of marriage. Because family, marriage, is God's idea. From the very beginning, God created man and woman. He brought them together in a marriage and consecrated them, and gave them the commission, the charge to be faithful and fruitful. And that's where Satan attacked first. And every day since then, he's been attacking the family. And so it's no wonder that as society forgets God, that our marriages and our families are falling apart. And this is why it's so important for us to have the intercession of these great patrons. because it's easy for us to be distracted and then discouraged. But we look to them and we beg them to renew and to purify our vision and our understanding of what married life is, what family life is supposed to be. Beautiful readings today, talking about the virtues that we should be living. But we are under attack. And maybe we can look at three areas or three fronts on which the attack comes to us as individuals and as families. For most of us, we get sucked into this life of comparison. We look at the lives of other people and we wonder how come they have it so good and I'm not quite there yet. We have no idea what someone is going through, but because they have a beautiful social media profile or they look nice sitting in the pew at Mass, we imagine that they have the perfect family and mine's not, so I get discouraged. I start comparison. And we know a comparison is the thief of joy. And so this family that is supposed to be the source of everything for me now becomes a thorn in my side. And it's everything that's wrong with me. If only my family was like that family, then all of my problems would go away. We get stuck in this life of comparison, and the joy of our family is destroyed. We are also living in this age of radical individualism, from our devices to our lifestyle. Everything is geared and focused on me. And so I want what I want when I want it. I want it now. I don't know how to be patient. I don't know how to share. I don't want to be patient. I don't want to share. I want what I want, and I want it now. This destroys family life. And then maybe the cover of everything is this radical secularism in which we live. I already mentioned it. This removal, this forgetting of God, that everything is just a natural kind of product of our effort, and that we removed God. God is the author of life. He's the author of marriage. He's the author of families. No wonder we don't know what families are supposed to be, because we don't know who God is. We've taken him out of our life. And so we have to fight these battles against comparison, individualism, and secularism. This is what's going to start a new springtime in our lives, in our families, in our parish, in our community. When we allow the truth of who Jesus is to permeate and animate everything. So where's the joy? Where can I find joy in my family? No matter how messed up it is, no matter how wounded it is, how can I find joy there? Can my family be a family of prayer? So St. John Paul II reminded us so many times that families should be schools of prayer. So how important is prayer to our families? How important is Sunday Mass? When it comes to fixing my schedule, when there's sports and recitals and vacations and work, where does Mass come? And does it ever get bumped out? If Mass ever gets bumped out of my schedule, I'm teaching my kids it's not that important, that something else is more important. And do we pray together? Do we pray the Holy Rosary? Do our children see our parents, especially our dads, on our knees praying, interceding, begging St. Joseph to help them? Do our children know that our parents go to Eucharistic adoration, the source and summit of all things, begging for support and strength? Are we men and women? Are we families of prayer? Are we families of love? Do we truly love? So we got the long version of that second reading. And as I said earlier this morning, I've gotten more hate mail when I preach on this part of the reading about wives be subordinate to husbands than I have for anything else. More than the changing the music, more than preaching on birth control and gay marriage. When I preached on this last year, I got flooded with hate mail. Maybe that tells us that we don't think with the mind of the church. But it's not so much about wives be subordinate. The important is the next phrase. Husbands, love your wives. And we can go to Ephesians for the elongated version of that. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And this is why it's so important for us to have the crucifix. Because how did Christ love the church? How are husbands called to love their families and their wives the same way that Christ loved? By dying. By giving everything for the other. When we're stuck in an individualistic, selfish life where everything's about me, the cross means nothing to me. So do we see the cross, the crucifix in our homes? Most people have a TV in every room, sometimes two or three or four. How many crucifixes do we have in our homes? The church cannot be the only time our kids see the crucifix. This teaches us what love means. He didn't deserve that. We didn't deserve him to do it for us. So when we love somebody, it's not because they've earned it or they're worth it. We love them because God has asked us to. Especially the unlovable. Especially when it's hard and it hurts and we don't want to. That's where we're called to enter into a Christian way of life. When we protect ourselves, sometimes we have to always have these little parentheticals. Sometimes life's really bad and there's abuse and we have to protect ourselves. I'm not talking about that. But when we seek self-protection instead of being vulnerable with the other, the world wins. They win the battle. So do we love? Do we truly seek the good of everyone else before my own? This is what's going to save marriages and families. And tied to that is forgiveness. So are we families of prayer, families of love, and families who forgive the deepest wound? And sometimes it takes 777 times to forgive, as Jesus said. And forgiveness is a gift that God gives us. Father, help me to forgive this person. Help me to get over this. Heal my heart. Heal my wound. Heal my family. This battle that we're in can be won through prayer, through love, and forgiveness. Go back and read this section of Colossians, chapter 3. You can skip that bottom part if you want to. There's enough virtue in the front part that if you tackle that, if you make that your New Year's resolution to be compassionate and kind with humility and gentleness and patience, forgiving each other and with bonds of love, we will win this battle. The devil's relentless. And no matter how good you are at doing these things already, we can never be good enough because the devil will never stop. You can never reach a point in your life and in your marriage where you said, I've done. I've done enough. You can never love enough. You can never forgive enough. You can never pray enough. We're called to be holy. We're called to be set apart. And the devil is trying to kill us. He wants your soul. And this is our feast day, a parish feast day, and this can be kind of a heavy topic to talk about, but it's real. The enemy of your soul is seeking to destroy you. And he's seeking to destroy you through your marriage and through your family. We all have examples of it in our families already. We know how strong the devil is. But through a life of prayer and forgiveness and love, through a life of devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, we can rise above and we will win. This is the hope and this is the promise. So we should be on our knees begging St. Joseph, begging our Blessed Mother to intercede for us, to strengthen us, to love us enough that we can love the other. We are called to be holy. We are a holy family parish. We need holy families in the world. St. Augustine has this beautiful prayer. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I love you. Save souls.